Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing? This is your host, David Murphy, from the National Black Unity News. I want to welcome all the people that's on Zoom call with us right now. We have several others with us thus far, and also those who are on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook Live, so what we call it the simulcast. And tonight, we're going to talk about getting up after you've been knocked down. And unfortunately, a lot of people are going through so many different things, especially this day and time. And even myself, you know, it's a lot on the plate. But I'm not knocked down, but the loads get heavy sometimes. Your shoulders, you can put a lot on your shoulders and you can carry a heavy load. And sometimes you just need to know how to deal with those things, you know. But once you've been around the block once or twice, that don't make it so that, you know, things can come at you, you know, kind of heavy sometimes. Because I do know, I chose the subject matter because I've talked to quite a few people. And a lot of people are going through so many things, you know, and at this particular time. And so, but before we get started, as usual, I want to introduce to you our co-host, Brother Satabi Jahi, because right now he always brings some encouraging information to us. And so, Brother Satabi, you got it, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, David. And I'm going to do tonight, so I'm going to read a poem from Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays. It's called "I Only Have Just a Minute." I only have just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give a count if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, for eternity is in it. And yes, there is eternity in a minute, I mean, because everything that we do, it doesn't take much to go off on the wrong track. Do something that we regret for life. And my grandson's facing some serious issues right now. He's incarcerated for something he did that was foolish, and you know we're praying for him, and hopefully he you know this too shall pass and he may be get out of it. But if he had thought that he'd end up where he's at right now, where he has to eat the food that they have for him, be locked up with people who you don't know nothing about them. And the bottom line, it's a horrible situation. And our family is praying for him and asking other people to pray for him that he can get through this ordeal so he can come out on the other side and be able to learn from his mistakes. Because he made some serious mistakes when he wasn't doing what he did. But that's neither here nor there. And so the basic thing, again, is we all have a minute, just a minute, and within a minute, you can do something that you regret for the rest of your life. And so I'm asking people to pray for my grandson because he did not use the medicine he had upon him very wisely in terms of what he did. And so enough said about that. And how's everybody doing tonight? Hope everybody's doing fine. And
all is well. Thank you. God bless.
Good. Thank you. Okay, David, I'm going to turn it back over to you, sir.
I need your grandson's name so I can put in my prayers tonight, if you don't mind.
Isaiah Martin.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, of course, you know, I've been praying because, you know, I was aware of the situation. And I kind of knew this young man's from his inception into this world. And I know, you know, you say train a child the way he should go. And he was trained well. And so was I back in the day. I had good parents, taught me well, right from wrong. But I still, when I got to that certain age, teenage, thought I knew everything. I was grown, couldn't tell me nothing. And I went out there and made some bad decisions. I mean, I made a surge, just like Isaiah. I was facing 40-something years in prison, robbed somebody, following people, and was praying for 10 years. And so, you know, like I said, I understand, you know, where you come from, but, you know, sometimes, well, in my case, it molded me, that situation molded me, so that I made a conscious decision that I would never put myself in that situation again. And thank God, you know, I didn't, you know, really get in that type of trouble anymore, you know. But, you know, that was a powerful learning, but it could have went the other way as well. But it was just a bad decision. And just keep the young man in prayer, and so many of us going. You know, we had one of our, I'm not going to call his name out, one of our previous editors. He's incarcerated right now, too. Young man with great potential, teaching other young men. And because he had this business, and I don't know all the full circumstances, just, you know, I'm just thinking out loud, is that sometimes pride get in the way. We don't want to ask people for help sometimes, so we go out here and make bad decisions. He made a bad decision. Well, I hope it was a bad decision. And now he's in prison waiting for trial and no bail. All that potential sitting there. Wait, and guess what? We have countless of our young men and women incarcerated because circumstances of life, bad decisions. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, some of those decisions, you know, because that's why the choices that we make, they all have consequences to them. But before I get started, again, I just want to welcome everybody to the National Black Unity News. I'm going to bring this on a little upper note. You know, the National Black Unity News is a publication by us and it's for us. We are what you may call a solution-oriented publication. Since our inception, we had always had a group of great people around us who supported us, who carried us, who always stepped up to the plate. When the next man went down, somebody else already stood up and stood in the gap for us. And because we are by divine inspiration, this is, you know, God-centered. This is not a ministry, but this is a business. But personally, to me, it's a ministry. But you know, you render to Caesar what is Caesar, you render to God what is God. But I do know this whole thing, why we're here tonight, is because of God. And I'm saying this because you got to give credit where it's due. You know, like most of us, we are obedient to certain things, to certain principles. And that's why you're here, because you have made some decisions that you stuck with it and you studied it, whatever craft you're in, whatever type of service you're in, you know, you put time, love, money, and everything else in it to make it come to fruition. But I want to tell you a story that I heard recently. Now, most of you know, or you, maybe you don't know, but in the Baltimore area, you know, there's a circus called the Universal Soul Circus. And it's a nationwide, matter of fact, it's universal. That's why they call it that, because they go all over the world, really. And I was fortunate enough to was raised up with the gentleman who owns that circus. Matter of fact, we live two doors apart. And he made some bad decisions, too. That's why he had to get up. His father took him out of here and moved him to Atlanta, Georgia, because he decided that he wants to be like my brother. And my brother was one of them brothers, you know, he was introduced to the drug world and he was selling drugs. And Cedric Walker started, you know, going after what he was doing and getting himself in trouble. And, you know, and so his father did a wise thing and moved him out the environment, moved him down to Atlanta. But I mentioned this gentleman about the Universal Soul Service because I heard a unique story by one of his managers. Last week, and she went on to say, that's why I brought up this subject matter, because I thought this was his story was so inspiring to me. She went on to tell me that during the pandemic, he made a conscious decision to keep the circus here because, you know, the performers come from all over the world. I mean, literally all over the world. And he knew that if he had, that they had went on while the pandemic had just started and people going back to their countries and stuff like that, he probably would have never gotten them back because they had all types of, at that time, they had all types of restrictions, closing borders and doing all sorts of things. So he made this conscious decision to keep all of them here. And she went on to tell me this story. She said he actually housed them, fed them, even paid them salaries for 2 whole years, and he wasn't making a dime. He had to dig so deep, she said. She said he had to do much prayer. And, he had to use all types of resources to do that. And this brother runs a big operation. Not only did he have to house all of those people, but, you know, he had, you know, those big trails, because they traveled big trails, trains, and all of that. And they had all of them animals. He had to do that with them as well. All of them animals, those of you going to go to the circus this week, you will see they all types of animals that, you know, that he did. And that's a huge operation. Because this brother was so dedicated to his work that he was willing to make those type of sacrifices. Yeah, he got knocked down. But this brother told that he wasn't going to stay there, and he was going to do everything possible to keep that vision and dream alive. And that's what inspired me so greatly about this is because his story is like a lot of our stories. And, you know, and I had a conversation with this brother. I call him Ricky, but his real name is Cedric Walker. And he was telling me, you know, he'll talk to me. We talk to each other because we sort of lift each other up. And he went on, he was telling me about, you know, the operation that he had to do and how much he has put into this business that he made some conscious decision that he was going more for the vision, and he kind of neglected some other things like his family. Not neglect them, but he didn't give them the proper time or even the proper time for himself and things like that. And, you know, and now he's 69 years of age, and now he had what they call hindsight. You know, I should have did this, or maybe if I would have did this differently or something like that. But he's often, you know, sometimes, like I said, we also kind of cry on each other's shoulders. And he was saying, man, I don't know if this was worth it. And then I reminded him of the works that he was doing. You see, every time, you know, this brother come to town, especially, you know, to Baltimore, which is his hometown, he would seek not only myself up, but other people, some of his family members. And he would give us literally hundreds of tickets to give to people in the community, to give to people that we grew up with in my family and things like that. And so we invite people to the circus. And I watch my own grandchildren when they're at the circus, and I look at their faces, how they light up. And not only how they light up, but the uncles, the aunts, and the grandparents there too lit up just like the little children. And it's rare for me, I guess rare for anybody these days, that you can see a father, a mother, grandfather, uncles and aunts and children all come together and have a good time together, just for a short period, a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours, and just like they forget about everything else and just really enjoy themselves. And that's the kind of joy this brother brings to the world. He brings, like I say, and my children, my son told me, he's 30-something years old now. And he told me, we were talking about the circus, he said, that's something, Dad. He told me, he said, Dad, that's one of my fondest memories, is going to the circus with you. You know, and so, you know, so those type of memories that is embedded in our spirits and in our hearts, this is the type of thing this brother brings to us. That's his gift to the world. And so, you know, and I, too, get weary sometimes. And I was really reminded today, early this morning, because everybody that knows me, you know, I get up a few hours of the morning, and I pray, and I do quite a few other things. And I listen to sermons sometimes. And this one gentleman I like to listen to, named Pastor Miles Monroe, and he was talking about gifts and how to succeed and how to do a lot of things with time. And he was stating that the time that we have, the gifts that we have, of course, not was as far as our contribution to the world. And every man has a measure of gifts. And the most important thing he mentioned was management. He said that one of the first thing he mentioned, he said, when God created the earth and the heavens and everything else, you know, the gardens and everything else, he put man there. And he pretty much told him to manage the garden. He said, multiply, nurture it, grow it, and things like that. And I always took that interpretation as we, as individuals, we are like a garden. And we all have our gifts, and if we nurture those gifts, you know, those gifts, you know, if we protect and we grow, we multiply those gifts that God gives us, they will make a way for us. Not only will they make a way for us, but they will make a way to have input on the world as well. Your gift is not for you, pretty much. Your gift is to share with the world, your contribution to the world. You're put here for a purpose. And so getting back to my brother Ricky, you know, we reminded each other, and he went on to say, this same gentleman, I told you a lot of y'all this story. And he said, David, he said, you know, it wouldn't be a circus if it wasn't for you. And he reminded, he said, you remember you saved my life, he said, back in the day. And he went on to say, he said, you remember we used to play football. And that's what we did, because we know back in them days, we wasn't that organized. We, you know, we didn't have like they have today. Structure. We was just children. We could get out there and just play. And we had, you know, we used to play football, tackle. You know, we had no helmets, no padding, no nothing. We just get out there. I mean, really hit you. We were serious about the team. And unfortunately, one of the gentlemen at that time, we was in the age from ranging from 14 to about 16, 18. The high oldest guy was probably about 18 years old. And one guy hit him so hard that he broke his collarbone. And he was on the ground gasping for air. His arm was just frailing all around, and nobody didn't know what to do because we was over this far field. And we were near, you know, our houses enough. Somebody could go get their parents or, you know, it was, you know, they could have ran 2 or 3 blocks, you know, we'd reach somebody. But at the main thing, he was down there. And I used to watch these television shows, and I remember seeing some show with what they call the Hemlick. I know, you know, I talk straight, you know, Hemlick movement or something. All I know is that nobody wasn't doing anything, so I jumped on him. And I hit him so hard in his chest, right in this area, right in the middle of his chest, and then I started pumping on him. And then he had a big air breath came out, you know. And he contributed. He said, Dave, that saved my, you know, that's what he said. You know, he said, I don't know, maybe I didn't, but he contributed that. And then he went on to call his top clamor, and he's a man, there's a guy named Onion, his name is Robert Dunn. I met him in person several times, but he is the clown. You ever seen the big clown at the circus? And he put him on the phone. Then he called his top manager and put her on the phone. We had 4 of us on the phone. And he said, yeah, you know, and I met the opening before, but he reminded, yeah, this, if y'all don't know, this is a friend of mine where I grew up, David Murphy. And he said, yeah, it wouldn't be no circus if it was not for him. And then he went on to say, you know, David, especially to y'all who's on here, who's part of the National Black Unity, you know, he said, I've been watching y'all. You know, he said, because I always send him posts off, and plus he's what on my list, you know, getting the newspaper electronically and stuff. So he reads it when he's traveling on planes and stuff like that, he says. But he said he watches us, just like many people watches us. That's why I say you never know who's looking at you. And he went on to say, I thought we lift each other. He went on to say the good works that we are doing around the world as well. He said, man, he said, David, I travel all over this country. I don't see nothing like this. Paper, the National Black Unity News. He said, I travel to, you know, and every city I go to, I meet all the dignitaries. I know all the who's who's in every place. And matter of fact, tomorrow, prove his point, you know, just to solidify his point, he'll be here tomorrow, and they have what they call a tent break. It's like a ribbon cutter, welcoming them back to the city. And all the dignitaries will be there. All the who's who's supposed to be there. They're going to have all entertainers there. He himself will be there, marching bands, drum lines, and all, you know, the whole thing. And they're going to have performances. And those who are in the Baltimore area will be there at 4:30 tomorrow. They will be at Security Mall. And I'm going to take a group of people from the National Black Unity News, and my goal is to introduce Cedric to some of our people, because we have so many talented people that can be a great contribution to the circus. You know, like we have a brother named Five Star, DJ. This brother has a IT program for children and stuff that, you know, that can be taken all over the world. We have brother like Rance, brother Rance, and I was talking to him earlier today with his talent. You never know the connection that could be made. But in any case, he was saying how wonderful the papers and what we were doing. And he said, Dave, of course, I've been watching you for a long time. And they said they wanted to recognize the National Black Unity News. So this Sunday coming, June the 12th at 7 p.m., it will be at the Universal Soul Circus highlighting the National Black Unity News. And yours truly will be the honorary ringmaster. And from that point, I haven't talked to Cedric since then, but I've been talking to his managers. But let me just say this. You know, when I talk to people, I kind of talk to myself as well. You know, when I speak to you sometimes, you don't realize it sometimes, but I be kind of pump myself up at the same time. And I do this because... Because I always have a habit of beating myself up. Not be straight up, but I beat me up because I never think I do enough. And so sometimes I get, you know, where, and then sometimes things just don't work out. Now, I had plans this last couple of weeks. I'm going to do this for David Murphy. Now, all of a sudden, all week long, I've been a ticket master. You know, trying to get rid of tickets. So you can make plans, but your plans, you know, get switched sometimes. But just go to show you sometimes, and you know, and my mother's not doing too well, and a lot of other stuff is going on, so things get kind of heavy on. And so this is what I say when I wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes I do this and do that, and wonderful things happen. This is just my, I'm going to ask you all some questions. How do you get up when things get down? It's important because your information is probably, you'd be surprised. Your methods, the way you do things sometimes could be encouraging and can uplift other people, because you never know what other people are going through. No matter how they look on surface sometimes, you never know what a person is going through. And so do you know, friends, I see you on here. Do you know, when I was kind of down these last couple of days, because I say I had made up my mind, I'm going to do this and do this now, and I'm doing this and I'm doing something else again. And I kind of whip on myself again. I say, I'm never going to do that again. But you know, it's still, you know, you try to do this. Because, like I said, a lot of people are going through so much. But I see another young lady. I'm just going to tell you how things work sometimes. If you stay true to the mission, straight true to your cause, especially when you're down. Friend, do you know a year ago, you was in Baltimore? June the 5th, and that's when I had that special event at our social club. I didn't realize until somebody posted pictures. I was up 3 o'clock in the morning, and they was posting pictures about that event. You was on, I seen you on it and everything else. And it lifted me up because that was a special day for me last year. Matter of fact, that was the first day I came out since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful things was happening to me because, I just had a stroke. I just came out the hospital. And my good friend Bill Gooden and them, and those who know, I don't have a whole lot of cash, but I have blessings all over the place. I don't have my finances because I never asked for it. Now it's coming. It's here now. But, you know, I get blessed all over the place. But Bill Gooden and Brother Rico on here. Bill Rico and a couple other people, they had this little program, man, that was raising funds for people. They raised a fund for this guy named Pernell. It had the Men and Family Center, and they raised about $11,000 because this brother been out here for 20-something years putting work in the community. And then when I came out, they said, David been out here just as long putting work in the community, and they decided to choose me to raise funds for. And they raised a considerable amount for me. It was truly a blessing. But I'm the type of person, those who know me, that when I get blessed, I want to bless others. You know, it's reciprocal. And so I decided to give this event because I wanted to highlight people in the community that was putting in work as well. And because, you know, you don't do this thing by yourself. You know, it does take a village, and it takes a team of us. And so people like Fran, I invited about 75, 80 people. And the majority of them showed up. And another wonderful thing happened that day. Yeah, I'm still going to do a documentary on it. I'm working on it now. And that's another thing I say, I get sidetracked. But, you know, about those people that attended that event. And the people that I invited there, actually, you know, not the talkers, not those who grandstanding and stuff. The people I invited personally were people who was actually working, putting work in the community. And a bunch of them came out that day. I mean, it just right in the heart after COVID. And they showed up. I mean, they showed up, man, and they, most of them got an opportunity. It was so many, you know, that they just got out of hand kind of way. But, you know, there were so many people. Most people got a chance to come to the microphone and speak. And they said a few things about what they did. But, you know, a wonderful thing happened. They turned it on me again and said some of the things that they did with me and how we did this and how we do that. And see, that was such a blessing. You don't know. Sometimes, you know, you give and give. Sometimes it's difficult for those who are givers to receive. Not only was I receiving monetary, but I was receiving love. I ain't never seen that much love on the internet and everything. I ain't never got that kind of icon. I'm sure it's never in my whole life. And Anita was there too. I see her on the cat car. She's our community representative. You know, she was there because she's putting in work. And guess what else I saw this morning? Even my sister Anita, she put out because Ricky gave me some tickets, and I gave her some tickets, and she gave the tickets out to the community. That's the way we do it, you know. And she had photos of people with the tickets in their hand that they was giving out to. And I was looking at that as an indirect, you know, that's such a blessing, how God blesses me to bless others, and everybody gets blessed. Seed, you know, it's like fruit, just, you know, roots, and it goes deep. And the fruit just go wide and stuff like this. And then, you know, God was just showing me again, you know, when you start beating yourself up. Here it is a year ago and current up to this year, you know, blessings was all around me. You know, I was being blessed and I was blessing at the same time. And so it's a unique thing that happens in my life. Because every time I beat myself up, you know, sometimes God showed me that, you know, nobody's perfect. And we all fall down. You know, the problem is, how do you get back up? How you continue to struggle? You know, it's not. I told Anita the other day, it's not easy doing what she does. She has to deal with a lot of stuff. City governments, people, individuals, all kinds of stuff, you know. So I'm going to start opening up the line. You know, enough about me. I just want to share with you because the subject matter was, you know, when you get knocked down, how do you get back up? And I just shared with you three ways. Not only sometimes I don't know how to get up, but somehow God always lifting me up, you know, when I'm not down sometimes. And then, if you know, and then God send people around that who's doing wonderful and great work to lift you up, send you a word of encouragement. And so, you know, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, because like I say, this podcast, there's only a few of us on it because we only send this out by invitation. You know, we don't send it out. I don't put it on Facebook with the masses of people can see this podcast. And if we did, we would have even thousands of people on there. But, you know, we had tried to do that before, and there's things called bombing. You know, other people don't want to see what we're doing. They don't want to see us succeed. And they would come in there and do all kind of havoc to the podcast. Put all types of pictures on there, say all types of words on there. So we only send it out by a special invitation. But once the podcast is up and running, it does go viral. It does go all over the place. So you never, that's why I say you never know who's watching you, who's listening to you. And I just want y'all to, like I say, be open and honest sometimes, because your story, the things that you go through, even to this day, get knocked down sometimes, but you have a wake sometimes. It's always bounce back. It's always because you're here right now. You know, if you live for some time, you've been knocked down on a multitude of occasions. And I've been down so many times that it didn't seem like it was no way up. No way. Many times, many occasions. But some had. Now I'm 70 years old. Oh, man, I've been blessed, man. I've been knocked down thousands of times. But somehow, some way, I'm still here, still standing, and still fighting, and still going strong. And that's through the grace of God and through people like yourself. Because, like I say, you're an inspiration. Just watching you work. That's what I do sometimes, watch you work. We got Brother McGeechee, and he's running around there feeding the homeless, taking people to treatment, getting people off of drugs, and this, that, and this brother struggling too. You know, that's why I say, man, you'd be surprised at what people do in spite of themselves. You know, anybody, like my sister Anita on here, she don't have to do this. Brand don't have to do, none of y'all don't have to do these things. But it's something within you to give you that type of mental and the spiritual thing of servitude. And that's why I consider myself a servant of servants. This is what I do. This is my gift. I serve people like yourselves. I'm a servant of servants. I like to serve people who are serving people. God has blessed me with tools, insights to help people that's helping people. And so, you know, and I get great joy out of that. You know, it's hard for me to do anything for David Murphy, but it's do something for somebody else. But in any case, like Brother Sestavi started this conversation off about his grandson who's in a bad situation right now. And sometimes, even when it's dark, like I had a similar situation, but because of them dark times, the difficult times, that's what molds us sometimes. That will build our character sometimes. That will give us our fortitude. That's what gives us our strength. You know, it's said that those things that don't kill you will make you even stronger sometimes. And I'm a strong brother because I told you, man, I done done so many things in my life. Only by the grace of God, I'm still standing there. And I share my story. You can call it a testimony. You can call it anything you want to, because somebody, and I do know this personally, a lot of people, especially a lot of those who are in the National Black Unity News, are really going through a lot right now. And sometimes we just need, you know, share our story sometimes. I just want to ask you a question. I'm going to call you out, too, because that's what I do in this podcast. You know, this is interactive. You know, we don't sit back and let Dave Murphy talk all the time, because I will. You know that, don't you? But I will. But any case, I'm going to start with one of our veterans first. Hey, friend, you know I was going to call on you. Hey, friend. Now, you've been through a lot of things in your life, and you're still going through some stuff, but you know, and it's no one answer to anything, you know, but you know, like I say, you're an author, you're a mother, you're a community activist, and you spend so many of more things that you do. You're editing the National Black Unity News, and we have talked on a multitude of occasions. But, you know, not for your sake, but for somebody else's sake, you know, how do you deal with trouble, hard times, and when things don't seem like it's nowhere? How do you come out of those situations? And you even wrote books on a lot of that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm going to start with you. What do you do, or what kind of thing can you say to us that may lift us up from your perspective?
Good evening, everybody. How you doing? It's good to be back. I've been out and about doing what I do. Haven't been on the call for a while because the timing has not been easy for me to stop what I was doing to hop on a call. But tonight I got a break, so I'm here. Before I get into what I do when I get knocked down, how I get myself back up, I want to thank Sitawi for two things. The poem, I Only Have a Minute. You know, the Congressman Cummings, Elijah Cummings, when he was a state delegate, he used to have that poem printed at the bottom margin of his delegate stationery. And so every time he sent a letter out on his stationery, that poem went out with it. And then when he became the congressman, he was still reciting it. And all the staff would recite it with him because he said it so often we could all say it by heart. So it really brought him to my mind when you shared that poem. So thank you. That was special, very special for me. Thank you. But beyond that, I have big prayers for your grandson because my son is in the same situation right now. I'm walking on that sidewalk right now. bad decisions, not thinking, acting before he really thought about what the consequence was going to be, has landed him in a situation of incarceration. And he is going to be there at least until the end of this month when he goes back to court. I don't know what is going to happen then. He's backing up a little time. So, you know, God can either bring him home or take him somewhere else. But I believe he's going to come home, and I have faith that he is going to come home. And my faith is stronger than my fear. So I'm praying over that every day. And now I will add Isaiah to those prayers, because neither one of those young men are in their purpose or are in their plan according to God's plan and his will for their lives. This is not what God has for them. This is a mistake that they made and put themselves on this path, and it's going to take all of us to pray to God to get them off this path. So that's what I'm going to do for Isaiah, because I believe he needs to be at home with his family and not in there with all those crazy people teaching him stuff that he don't need to know. Now, getting to how I get back up. Yes, I have been knocked down many, 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 many times, as most of us have. I've got to tell you, over the years, I have learned how to motivate and encourage myself. I know that everybody that I know has issues, has problems, has challenges, has circumstances, has situations, and they are still trying to figure out how and what to do about all of that stuff. And, you know, when I come to them, well, I don't want to do that. So I've learned how to encourage and motivate myself. I've learned how to encourage and motivate myself. And I resort back to my Marine training, too. Those of you that know me know I'm a former Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. And, you know, Marines improvise, adapt, and overcome. That's what we do. That's what we were trained to do. You improvise, you adapt, and you overcome. You fight until there is no fight left. And then when there is no fight left, you pray and keep fighting, because you can't stop until you win. There is no surrender. There is no someone overcoming you. That's just not an option. It's not an option to lose. It's just not an option. And you have to treat your life like it's not an option that you don't get what you believe you deserve. It's not an option for you not to have the things that you know you have worked your tail off to get. It's not an option for your children not to be successful. It's not an option for you to live in a home that's less than what you deserve to live in, or, you know, to drive a car that's different than what you deserve to be driving in. It's not an option. And if you don't have those things, then you're still fighting. You should still be fighting to get those things if that's what you want. Stopping? Yeah, I don't. Sometimes it means you don't get enough sleep. Sometimes it means you go to work with you know, aches and pains. Sometimes it means your heart is heavy and, you know, every time you have 5 minutes to yourself, you're in tears. But as soon as you know somebody's going to be looking, you got to suck it up and get on with it. And, you know, that's the improvise, adapt, and overcome all the time, every day. And now I'm retired 5 years. It's been 5 years. I cannot believe it's been 5 years, but it's 5 years this year. And I am still improvising, adapting, and overcoming every situation, because that's what I do. And that's what I've been doing. And that's what I'm going to keep doing, because that's what keeps me, you know, on this journey that I'm still on called my life. And there's a lot of chapters of it left. And I there's no surrender in me. That's not even a remote consideration. So that's how I do it. When I get knocked down, I just roll over, dust myself off, and consider it a quick nap, and then I get on with it. So
okay.
That's the answer, the long and short of it.
All right. You know, I appreciate that, because, like I say, you never know who's listening to you, and that's what they need. Some of us need just a swift kick.
That would be true. Myself included on occasion.
But I have my neighbor on here, and I want to get on here because I know she's extremely busy. Anita, can you unmute yourself, please? Yeah, well, that's what happens when you come on with us. Yeah, we're going to get you active. That's how we do. Yeah. But this is Anita Cathcart. I think I said your last name, right? Cathcart?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And she's a community activist, and she's the president of our community association here in the Lower Emerson Village community. Also, she was also one of the people that I highlighted on June the 5th. She was there at that event as well, and I appreciate that. And she does a lot, you know. Like I say, I wore that hat one time, not the way she wore it, though, wears it. But I did wear that hat. I was the vice president of Community Association, and it was a lot. I mean, a whole lot to deal with, and so many different types of people, you know, and activities in the community, and so much, you know. But Anita, you know, we talking on this subject, and plus you hold down a job, too, you know, so on top of all of that, too. But, you know, I think she's well-rounded. And how do you deal with adversity and hard times and dealing with so many situations at the same time?
Well, I have a punching bag in the basement. No, I don't. I'm sorry. hello, everyone. Like David said, I'm Anita Cathcart, president of the Allendale Community Association. We do a lot in our community. I do have a lot on my plate. I am a caretaker for my mother as well. And I do work for the state of Maryland and work for the community. So, and then I support other things in our southwestern district with the police department, with our agencies across the city, the state attorney's office, the DPW and DOT and all the other, in the mayor's office and the council office. And so we try to do a lot of events and not just events, but activities and such that support. I'll just say we start with the children, because the children, we have to catch them young. And sometimes it can be a little overwhelming, or maybe a lot overwhelming, when trying to work with different personalities of people. But there's always an out for me. One, I love to write. So, and I think David knows that because he gets my emails. I write a lot. But the key thing is getting rest. Your body tells you when you're tired. And so when I'm mentally tired, spiritually tired, emotionally tired and such, and even financially tired in some ways, I'll rest. I have to just close my eyes and just zone out. The other thing I like to do, I talk on the phone. I call my friends. And not to call them to complain, but I call and hear what they have to say. Sometimes, you know, their stories are worse than mine. And not that I want it to be that way, but most cases, you know, I think we can all attest to that. That when we call someone and we want to whine and cry about something and then they tell you their story, you go, let me back up off of that. But for the most part, I like to just do things for other people. I mostly like to plan events, and David knows that as well. I used to do band management and live entertainment. I used to host Monday night jam sessions with the local musicians around the city and the DMV area before I became more involved, one with my mom, two with the ACA, so the Allendale Community Association. So with that, I still have an outlet. I can go to a music event, you know, because it takes your mind off of craziness, puts in a different element. And you know what? You end up blessing somebody else. It happens to me all the time, all the time. So that's my short story. I have a whole lot of stories, but for the most part, I always look to do something else. I love gardening. I go out and put my flowers in the yard. You know, that's therapeutic, kind of relaxes you a little bit. I get the hose and start watering the grass. And you know, and that's like a 30 minutes of mind off of craziness, you know. But that's a temporary fix, but the things that hit a little bit deeper, of course, prayer is, and reading my Bible and
talking to those in my spiritual circle. You know, I think we all been to church for the most part to know, we pick a prayer partner, so to speak. So I know who to reach out to. I attend New Thomas Baptist Church, and I graduated from discipleship ministry. So I have discipleship sisters that I call sometimes. We don't talk every day, but, you know, we kind of just talk, and they go, oh, God, I was just thinking about you. Oh, my God. So we end up having a nice little conversation. Next thing you know, it's like whatever you're going through, is kind of, it passes by. It's still there, but you're not worried about it. You're not pulling your hair out about it, stressing out about it. You know, you find an outlet. And I know God provides that because he knows what we're dealing with before we even deal with it. So sometimes he can veer you off that path. Sometimes he'll allow you to go through it because he knows that he trusts you to be strong enough to do it. So that's my story, and I hope I answered that satisfactorily.
Oh, yes, you did. You know, more than satisfactory, because like I say, just listening to you and Fran thus far, you know, it's making me feel better already, you know, because like I say, no, you know, on, they say on sharpens on, you know, and you think sometimes you're in this battle by yourself sometimes, you know, you think like the whole world is on, just on your shoulders, but you know, everybody else out there, they got their burdens as well, but they have to deal with it. And like Fran say, you know, ain't no, it's no laying down, you know. One thing I did learn over the years, you know, when you get knocked down, because I have seen situations where I thought I would never get out of, you know, many times. But here I am, I'm still standing, so I know this too shall pass. You know, if you with the right mindset and the right attitude, and like you said, there are outlets. I love music too. You know, you have to have balance in life. It ain't all about the work all the time, you know. So it's about family sometimes. Like I say, pick up the phone and talk to people. So I appreciate that. Brother McEachin.
Yes, sir.
Chris,
yes, sir.
How you doing, sir?
I'm still here.
I know you are. Yes, sir. Now, I'm going to bring you in here. And like I say, I know you do a lot. And sometimes I know you think sometimes, you know, it's not reciprocal from far as man is concerned. But, you know, the work that you do, as I know, is for God and for the ministry that he gave you. But and me and you talk sometimes, and we know it's not an easy road. Sometimes it's a thankless road, you know. But yet you have to press on, because I do know one thing about a servant. Whether they like it or not, they ain't going to get no rest until they get up and do something. There ain't no more peace to just say, I'm do me, you know, and call it quits. That's not in you. And like I say, your mind won't let you rest until you get up and do what you know you're supposed to be doing. So how do you deal with this daily thing that you have to go through serving people, and you have to look at those folks, those of us who are having some real problems? All of us have problems, but, you know, so you're dealing with the homeless. You're dealing with people who are addicted. You're dealing with people who may not have enough food in the refrigerators and stuff like that. And you have to look at all of these things, and then you have to deal with your own situation. So how do you deal with, like, when things hit you kind of rough, when you get knocked down?
I pray. I seriously have learned to pray five times a day. I don't pray just for no few minutes. I pray a lot. When I tell you I pray a lot, I pray for 45 minutes at a time. I've learned that if I'm going to do like Fran and everybody else, learn what it is to be spiritual, not religious, but spiritual. You got to give the Lord what's due him. 168 hours out of a week. And I'm telling you, from sun up to sundown, I'm out here in 18 different communities and 18 different situations and 18 different attitudes, ideas, and behaviors of people who don't know how to understand what it is that needs to be done. And like you say, being thankless and being a part of a whole bunch of organizations that I am a part of and being left out of the loop when it comes to decision-making or how to resolve matters and situations. I'm like the Lone Ranger, and I'm always winding up looking for a Tonto. And there has been Tontos that come through for a season, and I understand that now. It's just for a season. It's not forever. I've had people give me stuff and then take stuff away from me and do things to me and say things. I've had a so-called youth pastor, let me say this, just recently, tell a partner that I'm dealing with, I'm not licensed, I'm not sanctioned, I'm not ordained, or nor am I set apart. But this brother is constantly telling everybody that I'm a fake AIM pastor. And I got to say it. I came back to that Murphy mob that I came out of Edmonton Village. Yeah, I was a part of that Murphy mob, y'all. Yeah, I'm back in the 70s before I became a police officer. I was a part of the Murphys, for real. And I hung with JC and David. Now they want to say it was horrendous, but I loved it because I love David's brother tremendously, and fell in love with David's sister as an absolution of all of that. But it was wonderful to watch me now from the 70s now to here, to see how I moved out of myself to get into the spirit of the Lord God. I don't call him God anymore. I call him the Lord God. And because I call his name, I call his name. And regardless of whatever it is that I do now, however I do it, I've been receiving. I delivered over 4.5 million pounds worth of food last year. I've helped 16 people get into detox. I helped 30-something people go from homelessness into affordable housing. I watched two people that I put in detox, OD, and lead this life to the next. So it's not always a bed of roses. It's not always a success story. But I love what I do because I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He pitied every groaning. And I'm telling you, man, out of the sanctity of the Spirit that's within me, I talk about the dispensation of the Holy Spirit that a lot of folks don't get, don't understand. Jesus is not here. It's now the Spirit that's in you. And I am in him, and him is in me. I tell people, without your next breath, you can't take a next breath, because I am, gave it to you. I quote scriptures, but I'm not going to be biblical today. It ain't necessary. But I do say to y'all, and I'm getting ready to get off, I'm going to be quicker than anybody else today. You got to give God what the Lord God what's due him. You got to give him your time, your talent, and your treasure. Seriously, when I say that, when I gave him my time and my talent, and I didn't give him his treasure, the Bible says, so man thinketh, so shall he be. You don't give the Lord his, he's not going to give you yours. So I've known the struggles. I have seen the struggles without giving him, thinking that I was the Superman. I was the man with the S on my chest, but it wasn't super. It was that other word that I'm learning. See, I'm learning not to even use them words anymore. But except for that one time that demon attacked me just recently, I almost curved out. I almost went to jail like everybody else. Almost landed up in jail. Well, I was going to get a good whooping out of it. But I ran from that demon. I ran from it. And I'm not going to let that demon take me down. I'm not going to let that demon stop me from what I'm doing. I'm not going to let that demon who claims he is a sanctified, fire, baptized individual, but he don't understand. Self-righteousness will kill you. Let me say that to y'all one more time. Self-righteousness, being so heavily minded that you know earthly good. If you don't serve the Lord down here, you can't serve him up there, because when you get up there, you're supposed to be able to enjoy the amenities of your life. Heaven and hell is in you. You ain't got to look for it. You already know the demonstration of it, because heaven and hell is in you. And if you got hell in you, you're going to wind up. The Bible says, you make your bed in heaven, thou art there. But if you make your bed in hell, thou art there. So you got to be careful what you do, when you do it, and who you do it to. Right now, I'm at peace. I'm at my lowest point, too, by the way, y'all. I'm without transportation. I'm not saying I'm cabin fevers and I'm stuck in the house, because I know how to get out and catch buses and do what I tell you, and I got a lot to do this week. I'm going to pray that the Lord deliver me a piece of transportation that I can get my food stuff that I have to. And I joined a brother who's on this cast that, like I always say, we need to band ourselves together. Me and Leon Purnell are now working together.
Amen.
And putting stuff into the city. I've given him meat. I've given him canned goods. I've given him bread. I'm giving Leon everything he needs. And Leon now and I are doing a event on this Saturday. Community Association President, we need you at 2500 Emerson Avenue, Perkins Square Baptist Church. We are now getting ready to have a Wellness for Baltimore City Summit at 10 o'clock this Saturday morning. Please come. You will be able to share a word and your idea because we are now trying to put a wrench to the violence in our city, the blight that's in our city, the grime and crime that goes in our city. We need to put a resolution together, submit it to those politicians, those individuals who have power, strength, and energy, and let them know that we are watching and we are waiting for them to do something other than just sit around and collect the paycheck. That's what they need to do. And with that, David, I'm gonna end my piece of this. And I appreciate you, brother. I'll see you tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? Yep. Yeah, tomorrow 4:30.
Yes.
But I need you to come as well to Perkins Square Baptist Church and anyone else on this podcast. Come to Perkins Square Baptist Church. I sent you the flyer. I don't know if you can put it on the podcast, but Perkins Square Baptist Church at 10 to 12, just 2 hours. I just need 2 hours of your time. Give me 2 hours of your time. And
well,
I'll
see what I can do, sir. Really will.
Yes,
and, you know, and like I told you, I get up early in the morning. One thing I do know that was mentioned early this morning was about management. And y'all know it's written that, you know, sometimes we pray about these things and pray about those things. And oftentimes we don't take care of the things that we already have. And, you know, how God would say, he ain't going to bless you with more things, you know, and you ain't going to take care of the small things that you have, you know. And so I'm learning. It's like I said, I'm always a student. So sometimes I overbook myself sometimes and don't take care of the basic things, you know. And so, you know, like I say, you know, that's why I say I'm always a student and I'm trying to be my best to be obedient. And so it was a revelation to me. I said, wow, you know, so just do what you got with what you have right now. And then take it from there, and then God will bless you with more. Just like they said, it's like that seed. You plant it and nurture it, grow it, take care of that thing then, and next thing you know, you can have another, you can put some more stuff in your garden, you know. But first things first, take care of what God has given you and grow from there. And Brother Rico, you know, I know you don't like speaking a lot, but this brother is like, you know, Brother McGeechan, Pastor McGeechan here, because he deals with the homeless and those who are sometimes, some may say, down on their luck sometimes. And Rico, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir, David. Hello,
yes,
everybody.
Sir. Yeah. I just want to share this about this brother, man, because he's one of those brothers that just talking with me. He and I talk. We talk for hours sometimes. But, you know, and And you know, it's not that many people that, you know, that they're so straight up with you that, and you know, you can feel their spirit that this brother have a real heart for giving. I mean, he loves to give, but and that's why he don't talk too much, because he don't want no parts of the glory. You know, he don't want to put his name out saying he's doing this and he's doing that. He just wants to serve. And I like that about him, but, you know, and I often share with them, sometimes you have to take the basket and let your light shine, because, you know, nobody can tell your story the way you can. And you know, sometimes, like I say, you know, when we open up sometimes, the things that come out of your mouth, out of your spirit sometimes, could be such a blessing to somebody else, you know. But this brother, like I say, I had a great opportunity to serve with him one day. And I was so impressed with his operation. We went downtown, and he had, I don't know how many people, like about 20-something people, but they all broke out these tables. I watched. They broke out these tables. They put the food, hot food, you know. They had the clothing. They had all, you know, toiletries. They had all of this stuff. And people, like, they like military. They got right to their stations, and they started setting. And I'm telling you, it was a long line of people that came through that line. And then after they did all of those folks, you know, they packed it up military style and went to another location and unpacked that stuff just like that and set up again. And there was another long list of people that, you know, that day, and we recorded a lot of that day. And like I said, I'm very observant. Like I said, I watched the children at the church. I watched their faces. But I was watching the faces of those people that was being served. I also was watching the faces of those that were serving. And, man, it was so spiritual the way I saw it, because nobody was looking down on each other. You know, they was all I saw was love on both ends, you know, those who were receiving and those who was giving. And Rico, I know you may not want to talk about this, but Rico, like I said, is a servant, and he's one of the guys that has to organize all of this. He's the one that has to get the resources. He's the one, you know, has to do all of these things, and it's difficult sometimes to do all of these things and deal with so many people at the same time. And Brother Rico, if you don't mind, you know, very briefly, you know, even though you out there serving, and I think you're doing a great job myself, but you know, a lot of things that I don't know if you want to talk about this sometimes, but sometimes when you know when you can't get the resources sometimes to do what you need to do, and you deal with so many people who make promises to you and then they don't fulfill them and stuff like that. So how do you get back up when things like that begin to happen around you?
Well, David, you know, when you can't make things happen the way you want them to happen, there's only one place to go. And then you go to, you know, you go to God and ask God to, you know, strengthen you and prepare you for the next battle. And that's all I can say about that one.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate it because you said the mouthful, because when you can't handle things sometimes, you know, I remember this old play. Matter of fact, that's strange. You know, the matter of fact, they got Cedric Walker, I will tell you about the own circus. You know, before he started the circus, he was a roadie for, he went to Atlanta. He went to Tuskegee, you know, college. And he met the Commodores. And he became their roadie. That's how he started out. And then he went on to start, he met them guys up there in New York, the original rappers. And he put on the first rap thing up there, you know, the first rap, you know, thing like you do, Anita, you know, put on a big show. And then he started getting into these plays, these black plays that he took all around the country. And he had one play when he came, that's how the thing he came to Baltimore with down at the, not the Civic Center, the other place down there. It was called, and the play was called Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God. And it was a nice play. He put on several plays like that, and then that's when he went into the circus thing. But, you know, it was many years ago. And, now, you know, I was just listening to what Rico said. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with, like I just said to everybody on here thus far, when you're dealing with so many people, so many situations sometimes, you know, especially a person like myself, I try to take on to fight myself sometimes, and sometimes, you know, the battle's not mine sometimes. You know, you have to let go and let God sometimes. Because, like I say, my arms are too short, you know. Now, they, you know, deal with, you know, like I say, God sometimes tell me, sometimes God will either sit you down or stretch you down when you try to do too much on yourself sometimes. You know, make you be still, make you be quiet. But in any case, there's a few more people on here. Roof Ministry, it's been a while. Can you unmute yourself?
God bless. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord. How you been?
Oh, praise God. We've just been blessed. Can't complain.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. Now, you've been listening to our subject matter, and I know, sir, you've been through a lot. Oh, God. And your wife has as well. Y'all been through so much in life, you know. Sometimes it seems unfair. But yet you have to deal with certain things. I'm not going to get into your personal story unless you want to share that. But, you know, because, you know, like you say, you heard of several stories about people being incarcerated and what they're going through right now. And sometimes it's even encouraging when you share your story, then some people say, wow, well, you know, they ain't that bad, you know. But if you don't mind, if you don't mind when things get rough on you, and I would, I'd be honored if you did share your story, because like I say, you never know who will hear this and how encouraging it would be just from your own testimony sometimes. But the question still will remain is, how do you deal with stuff when things get heavy on you sometimes?
I can only just basically repeat what Brother Rico said. Turn straight to God, because I realized when I tried to do it on my own, I always made a mess of it. So in the process of going through what I go through, I'm always constantly reflecting on a lot of things that he has done. And I know he's still able to do it. And even now, while we go through, you know, our journeys now, it seems like the roof has caved in. But constantly always looking unto him. You know, the Bible says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And this morning, I believe you also got the text that we send out every morning. We send out a text every morning that says, good morning. Let us always remind ourselves that the battle belongs to the Lord, and our Father God wins all the time. In Jesus' mighty and master's name, Exodus 14:14, when it speaks about how they went into the children of Israel was out there, and verse 14 says, the battle belongs to the Lord. We shall hold our peace. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 20 says, let us keep on the full armor of God. And then it also says, let us keep on the whole armor and never take it off. The battle was won over 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on that cross. And yes, we all still go through our battles. And my wife could testify that we still go through our battles. But we know that we have to trust in him in the process. So if we would say that this is just a bed of roses, and I believe the closer we get to God, you know, the more we begin to see ourselves, we begin to realize that it's not about us. And he's not going to give us more than we can bear, according to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. He says God will not give us more than, because the temptation is common to all. We're all going to go through something. And for those young men who are incarcerated, even though I didn't do the crime that I was sent to incarceration, you know, for, but I could truly say that it may be this time that it's time out. But sometimes we may be hard-headed. We don't want to listen to people telling us we think they're too old or we too young. And I believe God allowed me to go through my situation for time out, even though I didn't commit the actual crime. But I did do things in my life that was against his will by people telling me that I needed to get myself together. So he allowed my situation, 25 years of incarceration, to give me time out. And that, believe me, that was a lot of time out.
For real.
And I didn't go there looking for God, nor was I interested in God. I believe I was God because I was a 5%er at that time. So we were, you know, saying that we were God. And when I found myself in that situation and a man doing 360 years to life, David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, came and witnessed to me and told me to come to church. And God allowed me to go to church after attempting suicide the night before, and the rope popped. I went to the service because he told me there were going to be some women there. So I went there thinking I was going to find me a woman. And lo and behold, God found me, because he wasn't lost. I was lost. And he spoke to me that day through a Chinese preacher saying that, my life don't belong to me. I have no right to try to take my life. Now, I'm looking around like, who is this man? Where this man come from? Is psychic stuff going on around here? And because nobody knew. If you're in your cell by yourself. And I took the rope and I put it up there and jumped off the bed and it popped. And then I went to the church because Brother David Berkowitz told me on Friday, and this was Saturday when I attempted suicide. And I thank God that he got my attention. So for the young man, a friend, your son, I pray that this will be that time out for him to really reflect on what he needs to do once he get out of that situation, because he's going to get out. You know, no, we don't know what day, what time, what hour, but we know that God knows him. And whatever he has to go through while he's in there, continue to pray and believe by faith that God will get his attention. And also Isaiah, what's the other brother's name?
Brother Satavi.
Satavi, because I don't see his name up there. Be encouraged that this is time out for your godson. You know, it's not God's will that he be incarcerated, but, you know, we pray when we see things, you know, and I believe that people, my grandmother used to pray for us all the time. And sometimes when we pray, right, God may answer in ways that we're not expecting it. Sometimes we may pray for people, hey, God, get their attention. It may take incarceration. It may take a near-death situation. It may take a hospital. See, so sometimes we pray, we asking the Father to take care of it, but then when he do it in a way that we don't like, now we want to question him. We question God, God, why did you let my son go to prison? You prayed, didn't you? So he allowed it. He didn't put him there, but he allowed certain things. He allowed certain people to go in the hospital. He allowed certain people to go through whatever situation they're going through because we're praying for these people. Like we're praying for all the kids and stuff that's going and what's going on in the world. It's like this chaos. But God got it all under control. And he has the last and final say. So our job is just to stay faithful. Whatever we're going through, basically, you know, like sometimes you have to laugh it off. Because if we hold on to what's going on in our lives, it becomes more of a heavier burden. So if we learn to find something to laugh about or think about somebody who we may know may be going through a worse situation than ourselves, and that's encouraging. We're not rejoicing of them going through, but it'd be like, oh, how can I be upset when a man don't have no legs and no arm, but yet he's swimming? But yet I got eight legs and arms, and I'm not even tempted to swim because I'm scared of water, except for the shower. Maybe my wife wanted to say so. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, I appreciate that. How you doing, Prophetess?
Oh, fine. I'm just so elated to be with family like y'all. And I just want you to know that everything is okay. Just stay still. Get up in the morning and ask our Father what's our assignment. Get into him, like the gentleman said. The more you talk to our Father, the more you can see your blessings. Because when you sit around here and get in the way, you telling God you don't have no faith in what he has gave you to do, what he put you through. We know we have to deal with some long suffering. Jesus suffered. When we get to the cross, he got to the cross, he says, forgive them, they're not what they do. And he gave up the ghost. So the ghost that he gave up was the flesh. So we have to give up the flesh as well. And we do that, we be just like Jesus. That's all I have to say. Give up the flesh.
Amen. I appreciate both of your input on this. And you know, getting a little late, but I'm Brother Cliff. How you doing, sir? Brother Vernon, how you doing? Cliff, you another brother man who's out here trying to connect the dots and trying to uplift us as a people. And I know, Fran, you got to go. But you, any women, before I get to you, any parting words, Fran?
Oh, Dave, you know, tonight was really a very uplifting call from my spirit because I am fighting a battle. You know, we all are fighting battles, and I'm no different than anybody else. I don't have any more going on. I don't have any less going on. I don't have any harder stuff going on. I don't have any easier stuff going on. We all going through what we're going through and hanging on and getting through it the best way we know how. But every time I come on this call and I listen to you, just, you know, and everyone have a word of encouragement, have a word of inspiration, have a word of motivation, just have a word of support, just showing a little love. It just gives me a little more energy to get up tomorrow, to keep fighting the fight that I won't stop fighting until I win. But that doesn't mean that I don't get tired. It doesn't mean that I don't get nauseated and headaches and aches and pains and all that stuff. It just means that I got to fight with it. That's just part of the burden that I carry when I'm out there fighting. And when I'm on this call and I'm listening to all of you who are my family, you are my family. You're not just people I know or some folks that I just know. You are my family. And when I'm not on the call, I miss you and I think about you. You know, I can't always be on the call because I can't be in two places at one time. But my spirit is here even when my face or my voice is not. And, you know, when that load gets heavy, it's you guys that I think about, you know, and the challenges that you overcome and the work that you are doing, and you're not going to quit, so I'm not going to quit. And, you know, you need to be lifted up, so I'm lifting you up, even when you can't hear me. You're in my prayers.
Amen.
I'm asking God to go with you, to walk with you, to do whatever it is that you need that he can do and only he can do. There's no point in asking him for something that that Cliff can do, because Cliff can do that. You don't have to ask God for what Cliff can do. Cliff can do that. You got to ask God for the stuff only he can do, because that's when you get the true blessing.
Amen.
That's when you get the true blessing. So I'm out of here. I'm late for my next call, and I know they're going to talk about me, but that's all right. It was worth it. I love you guys.
All right. I love you too, sis. Take care.
All right. Later.
All right. Brother Cliff, in closing, and Brother Vernon, you know, Cliff, as I was saying, you know, we as a people going through so much, and you try so hard for so long, try to unite us, and you have to deal with so many different types of people, so many different types of organizations. And I know you get weary sometimes, and sometimes it seems like it's useless. But you know that spirit within you keep you fighting. Because like you say, you don't get no rest because it's a part of you. And so how do you deal with this, man, on a personal note, when you had so many challenges and so many personalities, so many different types of organizations who say, yeah, 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 but then when it comes time to do what needs to be done, it's a different story.
Well, first of all, good evening, everyone. And thanks again, Baba David, for this call, this regular call that you do. I don't have a punching bag in my basement, although I do have a stationary bike, which I basically get on and ride until it breaks, which usually happens 3 or 4 times a year. And hopefully when COVID has gotten a little bit less intense, there is a dojo not too far from me that I can go to and I can fight people. So hopefully I'll be able to get back to that. So those, as far as stress relievers, those are some things. Sometimes I'll get on my old DJ console and crank out a set or two if I want to let loose some creative energy. Other than that, if I just want to calm myself, settle myself, every couple of weeks and more frequently if it rains a lot, it takes me about 2 hours to mow. So while I'm doing that, I surprisingly am able to work on a few things subconsciously and sometimes even consciously and kind of straighten a lot of those things out. As far as inspirations are concerned, I get a lot of my inspiration from all the people that you bring together on this call. I don't have children who, for example, are caught up in the criminal justice system. So I'm not dealing with that sort of thing. I don't have to deal with the kind of struggles that Mama Fran, Baba Satawi have to deal with in that regard. I don't have to deal with the struggles of someone like Mama Victory Swift, who several years ago lost her son to violence, and he was in his 20s, and he was really coming into his own as a community activist, and he was going to do so many great things, and yet he was struck down just like that. I've never been imprisoned myself, so I haven't had to go through 25 years like Pastor Bradford had to do on trumped up charges or on false imprisonment. I didn't have to deal with that. I wasn't in prison for 44 years like Marshall Eddie Conway, 50 years like people like Sundi Aracholu, who just got released from prison, or Mutulu Shakur, who they're saying they're not going to let out of prison, even though he probably doesn't have much time left, or several decades like Russell Maroon Schultz, who was released just before he transitioned. I hadn't had to go through something like that. 40 years in prison like Mumia Abu-Jamal, 40 plus years like members of the Move 9, all but I believe 2 of whom either died in prison or were released shortly before they transitioned. I haven't had to deal with a lot of the issues that a lot of you and a lot of other people have had to deal with. I haven't had to go to the hospital to be surgically operated upon. The only surgical procedure that I've had to go through was one time when I had to get a few stitches to the face without anesthetic after an errant punch in the dojo. Baba Yahya Shabazz is walking around with someone else's heart in his chest after waiting for 2 years following two massive heart attacks and two heart failures. And so he's had to struggle through that entire time period. Others who have transitioned, Mama Maisha Washington, Baba Tunji Balogun, Baba Kaki McQueen, Mama Lola Jenkins, Baba Ross Marcus is in a nursing home now after all the struggles that he went through. And you'd like to think that those people were able to receive some kind of earthly reward at the end, but in many cases, they didn't. So just to see how many people, and the one place I guess I would differ from Mama Fran is to say that, no, there are people who have gone through more than I've gone through. There are people, like I said, there are people on this call who have gone through more trouble and more stuff than I had to go through. And even among the people who didn't go through that, there are people who put forth Herculean efforts. A week and a half ago, there was a big Pan-African roundtable that happened in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And a number of people who are friends and colleagues of mine, comrades of mine, were deeply involved personally by going and financially by putting up money to make that roundtable happen and make it a success. And now many of them are stuck holding a bill. They're stuck holding a bill, and some of them, even though they recognize the great thing that they were able to accomplish in Addis Ababa, they're now looking at a situation where they had put a lot of effort into something, and in a few cases, I'd have to say that maybe their effort wasn't appreciated the way it needed to be and still needs to be. So I'm not going to sit up here and say that I have gone through an awful lot, that I have endured all these struggles that require any more respect, any more sympathy, any more support than what practically anyone else has had to go through. I don't have to wake up every morning to gunfire outside my house unless it's some crazy white boy about 2 miles away firing off his rifle in preparation to go track down some deer. I don't generally have to worry about whether or not there's a police helicopter flying over my house looking for some madman who's running loose in the neighborhood just shooting up houses and shooting up cars and robbing and jacking people. I don't have to worry about that sort of thing here. Where I am now, I can look out my window and I can see deer and I can see hawks and I can see groundhogs and I can see all of God's creation spread out around me. And that, I guess, brings me to the spiritual piece, which is also a little bit different in that I can actually take a look at God's creation around me. I can see what has been put here on earth for humankind to commune with, to enjoy, and that for the most part, humankind either ignores or spoils what it is that has been put here for us by the Creator. So I take a look at those things, and they kind of help center me a little bit to know that, okay, I ain't as important as I might sometimes want to think I am, and that there is, whether I believe in a Christian God or an Islamic God or the God of the Akan, the Yoruba, the Vodou, that there is some kind of creative force that's out there that's put all this stuff here on earth, and whether they're orchestrating every single thing that goes on or whether they're just putting the resources out there that humans and animals and plants and everyone else needs to be able to sustain themselves and to reach their highest potential, the greatest potential and highest good, that is there, and that as human beings, we first of all need to become one with that, recognize the creation for what it is, and then concentrate on doing our best on making that creation more beautiful and beneficial than we found it, which brings me to the sixth principle of Kwanzaa of Kaumba, to do what we can in the way that we can to make our world more beautiful and beneficial than we found it. And you keep that in mind. You keep in mind the struggles of all those who came before you, who have departed, who are still struggling, who have paid the price. All these people who did all this work for the people and the Panthers, AIM, MOVE, all these other organizations, their reward was punishment. They were thrown behind bars for decades and decades and decades, and some of them were just outright murdered. So to realize the struggles that those people went through, yeah, I ain't got that much to complain about.
Amen. Well, like as always, my brother, you say so much, and I love the way you say things because it hits right to the point, and I appreciate you for that. I really do, brother. And Vernon,
let me say this real quick. Yes. Rico Crawley and I work together continuously and constantly all the time, and I do appreciate him because he allowed me to send tumblers of clothes to Haiti. We just did it just 3 weeks ago. He gave me a lot of clothes and other items to give away so that people in Haiti, the poorest country in the world, could survive and get a blessing from the Lord. I wanted to make sure that was understood. I'm working with Rico Crawley as well.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Great. Yeah, I like that. You know, like I said, we work together like that. Brother Vernon, how you doing, sir?
All right.
I know you've been sitting around patiently and everything. You know I'm going to call on you, right? and Vernon, you've been through a lot, and just recently, you know, I know you lost your mother, and, you know, that's a difficult task, you know, for any man or woman, anything, but, you know, but how do you deal with stuff, man, that, you know, on the day, like I say, you work and you deal with certain type of people, and you have a lot on your shoulder, but yet you always find time to give of yourself, of your services. So how do you deal with life when it gets too heavy on you sometimes?
Okay, good evening, everyone. Sometimes I just realize that, you know, sometimes faith is bigger than I am. And, you know, it's been said already, you know, so many times tonight in the podcast. But just take a step back and just, you know, reflect on the creator of the universe, you know, God. And just be still, you know, and see what he has to say, see what God has to say. And just listen, you know, and just, you know, just take it from there, just reflect, evaluate what's going on. And sometimes, you know, it don't seem as bad, or it could, you know, sometimes it could be worse. But nevertheless, you know, he gives us, you know, different opportunities. Sometimes I look at life and I say, okay, you know, things could be bad, but, you know, nevertheless, you know, I have my life, you know, and, you know, just look for things to be better or change, you know, just go down a different path, something like that. But, you know, that's how I see it.
Okay, I appreciate that, Grant. Always, but you're a true servant, you know, true servant. Brother Cliff, I've been trying to call you, sir. I have, if you're interested, you know, they're honoring us at the Circus this Sunday at 7 p.m. I have a ticket or two for you if you're interested. I would be honored if you was there. So I'll ask the
wife what she's got planned. Wednesday is her birthday.
Okay.
Wednesday is her birthday, so I'm going to be spending most of this week after I get off of this call. I'm going to be spending most of this week kind of celebrating that but we'll see how things work out as the week goes on.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah. But let me know whatever details there are, and then I can bounce those off of her and then see what she wants to do. She's still a little shy about going out too much.
Oh, okay. Well, like I say, I got a couple of tickets for you if you're interested. But they go on fast. Okay. But in any case, all right. So I'm gonna close this thing out, Brother Satari.
Yes, sir.
You have anything before anything to say before we go? Because I didn't ask you. You open up. So and you going through a lot yourself, sir. In closing, I just want you to close us out. So what do you do when things get so heavy on yourself, sir?
I pray, and then I have meditation music that I listen to calm my mind, because my mind, like other people's mind, my mind, it can race all over the place. So I listen to a lot of meditation music to calm my mind, and I definitely pray to higher power. You know, most of us believe higher power is God. And so that's my solution is prayer and meditation.
Well, let me say this to y'all in closing. I know it's been a long night, but it's been a very rewarding night because, you know, as most of you had already stated that, you know, we all had difficulties. We all go through stuff on a consistent basis. As far as I can remember back in childhood, I don't care if it was some guy, my brother had a toy I didn't have. I always had issues about this or about that in life. And it's all about how we deal with things and the choices that we make. And oftentimes, as far as I'm concerned, I made a lot of bad choices, a lot of bad decisions. But even then, you know, those things that didn't kill me made me stronger. You know, and like Pastor Bradford was saying, is that, you know, when we pray about things sometimes, we may not like the answer the way God may, you know, question us. But, you know, my brother used to say, just being incarcerated for a lot of folks that was coming up before they was on drugs and they were doing some unsavory things, it actually saved a lot of their lives because they was in the fast track, you know, and people dying around us all the time. And for those who got locked up sometimes, they gave them a little bit of time out to get them out that rat race, you know, and that's probably why I feel I'm still around. And so, you know, it's such a blessing, you know, like I say, even though we think we are being punished sometimes, but like I say, those things, you know, it builds our character, you know, it gives us wisdom and knowledge, and most important, it gives us appreciation.
Amen.
You know, and so, and I am appreciative, I'm grateful. You know, that's one thing about my journey is, see, when I look back over my life, I am so grateful.
Amen.
For all the things. Like I said, it ain't monetary, but I know one thing. I am one blessed man. I'm a blessed man to be around people like yourself. You know, I've been around all types of people in my lifetime, you know, and it's good to be around positive, strong, people care, people who share, and people who are actually serving. And so, you know, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, you know, keep doing what you're doing and just know that you're not by yourself. God is with us. And God has put people around us as well. You know, all of this, like Brother Clifford said, all this vastness that God, everything we need is here. You know, but we need each other. We need God. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bid you good night. And there will be a call tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. with Miss Kathleen Murphy. But I will not be there because I will be at the our social club, because I am being inducted as an honorary member, and I take that as an honor and a privilege.
Oh, that's a reason for me to go then. All right.
Yes, sir. And you know, God is blessing me in so many different ways. You know, I used to tell you, you know, last year when I told you June the 5th when I had that event. That was, you know, like I say, and then later on there, you know, then I had the black men gave me an award, and then the circus is doing. I mean, God is just blessing, you know, in so many different ways, you know, and like some of us say on earth, you know, I'm beginning to smell my own roses before I die, you know. and it's a wonderful smell, and it's a wonderful feeling. To know that people care about you and want to honor you and celebrate your life, even though, like I say, like Brother Clifford stated so eloquently, is that there's so many people have been through so much,
Amen.
And you know, and you know, and we can't. can't complain why this person has this and why they're doing this and why, you know, Amen. Why someone has to go through that. You know, God does things in his own ways. His ways are not our ways. And Amen. Then and sometimes it's not even God. It's man doing things to man, you know.
Yes.
And man is cruel, you know. You leave it up to our own devices sometimes. We try to blame God for what man has done. But,
yes.
but like I say, I know that you know, when the chips are down, even when I wasn't aware, when I did get in trouble, as a little child, you know, I would cry out to God. Don't know why sometimes. I used to blame God, too. But at the same time, I do know this, I'm 70 years old, and now that I look back over my life, it's been such a blessing because even the hardships, the loved ones that I lost over the years and stuff, it was just a blessing being in their presence for that time.
Amen.
You know, and so, you know, life is great as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Amen.
And sometimes in our mental capacity, we take on more than we need to sometimes. You know, we try to carry the load. You know, that's why I say the battle's not ours always, it's God
Amen.
Sometimes.
Hallelujah.
You know, we just have to be great managers of what he's given us.
Yes.
And if we manage the small things that he's given us, then, you know, he would increase that. But, you know, just learn to be grateful for what you have, for who you are, and where you are. And take care of those things and just be grateful. And that's what that's exactly what I am. And with that being said, I'm going to say good night to each and every one of you. And Prophetess Ruth Ministries, it's good to hear from you.
Good,
I mean, it's really good. It's really good to hear from you. I miss y'all.
I miss you. Likewise.
And Brother Cliff and Rico, Vern, and those who still remain, Brother McEachin, man, y'all do such great works, and it's good to be associated with you. And
Amen.
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you all a pleasant night, and Brother Cliff, I hope to see you tomorrow, Vernon and Rico. I mean, Rico, I know Vernon, I'll see you tomorrow. And at circus and everything. So, you know, life is good. We're going to enjoy ourselves and celebrate life. And I'm going to the circus. I'm being inducted, man. Life is good. Amen.
Loving
it. Amen. So I will say good night to you all. Take care.
All right. Congratulations, David.
Good night. Thank you, sir.
Good night and God bless us all.
Yes, God bless you all.
Goodbye.
That concludes our portion of the broadcast for the night. And here's a little music to close it out with. It's my time. good night. I hope you enjoyed our broadcast. And tune in again next Monday night at 7:30 for another edition of the National Black Unity News podcast. National Black Unity News is a solution-oriented news publication. It comes out quarterly, and you can get a subscription to the publication by going to TNBUN.com. TNUBN.com. All right. Take care. God bless.